Let's face it, where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why we go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. If you're betting on NFL this season, do the smart thing and bet with MyBookie. Like to bet a little and win a lot? Try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. Bets not going your way? MyBookie allows betting after kickoff. Visit mybookie.ag today. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code BLUEWIRE to activate the offer. That's promo code BLUEWIRE at mybookie.ag.
Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm great, Josh, and welcome to everyone out there to the world's leading comedy podcast where we're only talking about the joke that is the Fantasy Premier League. LOL. What is going on?
Yeah, it's a crazy start. So this morning you and I met up. We went to the Black Horse and as we often do, you know, more this year than ever before, it seems like. We've ramped it up somehow. I'm not sure how I have a child. I'm not sure how I'm able to do this so often.
Yeah, we want to work out a collaborative WeWork space plus Black Horse where we could just have some like office hours at the Black Horse that will work out well.
So you and I are both having a terrible game week, as are many, and you wild carded into this game week too. So that's even worse, as we know from my podcast, my wild card a couple weeks ago on the podcast. Yeah, right. We talked about it. It's no fun to wild card into a less than stellar game week, even though people often say it's the week after the wild card. I don't know. Like you want to have a strong week after wild card. So we were like, we don't want to do that thing though where we just get on and complain about our teams for 30 minutes. Right. I mean, I want to talk about our game weeks and where we are, but you know, a little bit. But I want to focus on our advice or just notes for managers who are having good seasons. So the bulk of this podcast will be people posting about what's going well. I mean, right? Like I know where I am right now and it's not a fun spot. I've dropped 800,000 spots this game week. We're recording this on Sunday night. I need Allaire to have like minimum 7 or 12 goals, you know, to really like save this. If he had 12, I think I'd feel good. Yeah, record breaking, Yakubu-esque, you know, performance. Very strong. That would be ideal. So,
points in our favor here, though. Speaking of Yakubu, if that sort of record breaking game is going to happen, it's going to come from sort of an under the radar mid tier striker. Totally. It's not going to, the strikers like Aguero, they play within structured systems. Aguero hits in his 8th goal, Pep's going to pull him. It's going to happen. Allaire, he hits his 11th goal. I'm not sure Pellegrini's going to have the courage to take him off the pitch.
They might need the goal difference, you know, at the end of the season. Who knows? So, all right. So, so we want to focus. So anyway, I know where I am, but I clearly, you know, based on where I'm ranked, there are a lot of managers who are having better seasons, right? Like I'm not in first. So let's hear from people who are ahead of us in the rankings. What's gone well so far this season? We're also going to look at the top 20 point leaders from game weeks 1 through 5, which is very instructive and very interesting. And so just let's focus on the positive here. Let's focus on getting better. If you're not having a good season, this podcast will hopefully start reorienting you a little bit, like what approach might be the one to use, you know?
Yeah, right.
So let's do that. But before we do, Brandon, let's talk a little bit about game week 5. Uh-huh. It has been a dumpster fire, right? Is there any other word? It's any word like that applies, I guess.
It really has been a dumpster fire. I think it's emblematic of what I actually did on Saturday. So on Saturday, instead of firing up the Premier League fixtures, my wife and I got in a car and went upstate here in New York, and we just toured around, and it was raining all day. I was on the back porch of this house, you know, just minding my own business, and I slipped and I fell, and I landed on my back. I have this huge bruise on my back, like like it's a miracle that I didn't break my spine like Neymar in the World Cup or anything like that. And it was one of those falls where your whole life flashes before your eyes. And I think it was sort of my body seizing up and telling me, Your FPL team is going through a journey right now, and you're not there to witness it. Here it is for you. So it was a backbreaking Saturday for my wild card. I mean, much ado about nothing with my wild card.
I don't want to go through the whole team reveal. You don't want to do that. But let's. I will say, though, because I am curious, and I'm sure a lot of listeners are, too. I mean, we talked on last week's podcast, Sunday night, and I feel like – and even the kitchen table pod that you did, you know, and it feels like the team changed quite a bit going into Saturday. And so what – you know, what was your thinking there? Like, you know, what happened with the final version of your team?
Yeah, the final version of the wildcard team, and what I was preaching – last week and on the Patreon podcast was aggression, aggression, aggression. And the wild card that I had going into my Friday tinkering, where it was just me alone by myself, left with the game week deadline, was I'm just not being aggressive enough. I was left with a fairly template midfield, such as that term means, with Sterling, De Bruyne, and a Liverpool midfielder, and sort of a milquetoast forward line. You look at Allaire and Pukki as just electric as he is, you're thinking this is a promoted team striker right. at a relatively budget price. What am I doing in this wild card? And there was a switch that was flipped where I just decided to move all of my money forward. The backbreaking decision, such as it was the tinker that I had before I ended up clicking the confirm team button had Aguero and Aubameyang in it up front. What I ultimately decided to do was go with Vardy, Allaire, and Aguero up front. And I think I've missed the trick in every conceivable way, missing out on Pukki and various others. I did sidestep the trap that I was about to fall in, going even more budget than Pukki and the like, in going for Che Adams or Jordan Ayew. So looking at Vardy, Allaire, and Aguero up front, the big question is not how did I perform in game week 5? The big question is how am I going to be looking 2 or 3 game weeks from now? Because I feel like these are all really strong standout players through 5 game weeks of the season. I can't beat myself up about, I mean, Vardy, looking a little bit forward to game week 9, right? The fixtures will really open up for Leicester. Allaire, really strong stats. We'll see what he's able to do about Aston Villa. Aguero probably could have done more against Norwich City. The entire lineup of Man City could have done more against Norwich.
It's a very clever podcaster's trick here, Brandon, to tell everyone to wait until game week 9 to see how your wildcard team looks, because they're all going to forget. You know, they're going to forget to follow up with you.
So the one thing I do really feel bad about. Okay, so I kind of hate that I sold Pukki off. Like, I made a very minimal amount of money on Pukki and then immediately sold him down the river because of this Manchester City fixture. He's gone. One I really feel bad about is Tammy Abraham. I've been slagging this guy off since, you know, 9 seasons ago, back when he was on Swansea. I've just never really respected the player. And he is really, truly proving me wrong. And I will say, you know, my bad. He's having a great season. And I was throwing all these stats at our Patreon members on Thursday night's pod of Allaire is doubling every stat of Tammy Abraham's heading into game week 5. But Tammy, again, just registers a phenomenal game week. So this is the last thing I'll say, and I'll pass the conch shell over to you, Josh. But play the wild card heading into game week 5. Now game week 5 is just about over. If you were to say, like you said on the Always Cheating Twitter, Josh, can we start the season over right now? If we started the season over right now, I still am not sure what kind of team I would field. It's just a wild season in which there are so many options, you know, for good and for bad. It's really a really tricky season to know which way to go right now.
Yeah, I think so too. And I mean, I'm looking at my team right now. I'm at 34 points. My So I guess better than you, but not great. And I mean, lots of mistakes. Yeah,
I'm on 25
right?
points going into Monday's Villa West Ham fixture for those keeping score at home.
All you can do is laugh at some point, right? I mean, you just have to laugh and move on. It's, I mean, you know, I think, I mean, look at my, I've got a 4-4-2. I mean, look at my defense. I got 2 points from Matt Ryan, loses the clean sheet in the 92nd minute. 2 points from Lundstrom, loses the clean sheet late. Zinchenko, I mean, I guess I just got to like lose my Manchester City defenders now. Dean with zero, Van Dijk with two. And honestly, I feel like I got lucky because I almost brought in TAA, who should have had about 27 points yesterday and didn't. So would have hurt my overall rank even more if he hadn't finished on two. Uh-huh. And then I move what I thought was actually a very I did post this on Twitter. I mean, I owned up to it, but I moved from Mane to Salah. And I didn't think that was over tinkering. I actually thought that was a very conservative move. I thought I was kind of shoring up my team. You know, I was like, well, you know, Salah could absolutely go off tomorrow. He's on pens, he's on corners. He's, you know, I mean, they're both great at home, but he's just been the better player so far this season. And I didn't want to get killed again if he went off.
You were telling me this morning that it was even like getting killed in game week 5, this was a long-term move for you. Wanted to be on Salah over Mane.
Yeah.
Not that there's an incredible amount between the two, but this was just the long view for you.
Yeah. And so, you know, in the end, Salah scores, gets two bonus. It's a 6-point difference. It's not a killer, but you know, when you're on 34 points, I'd rather be on 40, you know, that's for sure. It's funny because my team feels kind of template right now, but my game week rank is 5.9 million, you know? So Allaire again needs to score about, you know, a minimum 12 to 19 goals tomorrow. That would really, 19 goals would be, that would really do it for me. Getting, you know, a total of 6 points from Zinchenko, De Bruyne, and my captain Sterling didn't help. Pookie and Salah are the only people who did anything. You know, and so then I left 6 points from Aaron Wan-Bissaka on the bench and 6 points from Cantwell on the bench. Could have used those. So it just, you know, just a rough game week. I don't know. I'm surprised I'm not more annoyed about it. I mean, it's sort of like, I feel sort of philosophical about it. I guess I kind of feel like you, where I don't feel like I don't feel like I'm ignoring some obvious players right now. You know, yeah. I mean, I don't feel like, you know, outside of maybe Tammy, I guess. Although Haller has done almost as well as him, you know, So it's like, you know, it's a little tricky. And I think the biggest thing is I'm overinvested in the defense. I think we have enough evidence now to kind of point towards the defense not being a place where you want to be laid out too heavy, you know? Yeah, and so, right. So that's the biggest thing is I'm going to start trying to take money out of there. With the exception of, I do want to have Trent Alexander-Arnold. I think he's, looking like a darn near essential defender in the game. Outside of him, I mean, I feel like I could have a bunch of 4.5 million defenders and I would get just as much out of them, you know? So, that's where I am. It's tricky, but it's so early. And, you know, I fell 800,000 spots, but even that doesn't bother me because if you can fall 800,000 spots with one bad game week, you can also climb 800,000 spots with one good game week, right? It's still so early in the season. So, you know, if it's game week 18, okay, sure. Maybe I'll start to get worried, but yeah. Game week 5, when there's 33 more game weeks to go, there's so much time left in the season, an absolutely insane amount. It's such an insanely long season. So I'm just not going to get too down about it, which I guess, I was a little down when that second goal went in for Sadio Mane. I won't lie to you. I got a little hot on the Twitter feed. I did a little bit of blocking, Brandon. I won't lie to you. There was a few people definitely got permanently blocked, but I'll tell you about them later. That's where we are.
On Sunday too, it was an interesting day. We were at the Black Horse with the greatest bartender in Brooklyn, Jazz, who
that's right.
He was having a high flying ghost team of a time with his, I've got Fraser, I've got Callum Wilson. And it was also like on top of whatever beating we all took on Saturday, Sunday was a day for the highly owned players that none of us own. Totally. just a really interesting week. And I really don't know how to digest it in the moment other than more than ever, it just feels like the season hasn't started yet. It is wild out there.
Yeah, I agree. And I think maybe you have to embrace the wildness. And I think given how wild it is, I mean, the narrative does look a lot different if the Norwich game alone goes differently. Like how Norwich won with no defenders is remarkable. It's amazing. It's heroic. I mean, it's so cool. I loved it. You know, I mean, it was brutal for my fantasy team, right? Getting a blank from Sterling, one from De Bruyne, one from Zinchenko. Awful. But who care? I mean, like, it was just, I was so happy for that team. Because
that's exactly
so cool.
You have to embrace the Premier League of it all, or the Premier, or however the globe is supposed to pronounce it. But yes, like, there is comfort out there. You're a fan, you're an FPL manager, you're a diehard FPL manager, but while the bodies are hitting the floor around you, there is a glorious Premier League season unfolding. And my God, let's go. We were hanging out with our great friend James Bishop too, and he's a diehard Liverpool fan. He's got Kenny Dalglish's name on his tattooed on his forearm. If you're a Liverpool fan, like, you're holding your breath even at this early point of the season. It's just magic, right?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. So that's a great note to end our opening segment on. But just I'll note before we get into the next segment, if you would like to support the podcast, if you want to get a bonus podcast each week, if you want to pop on the Slack, the nicest, I think it's the most polite fantasy conversation out there. Maybe you don't want polite, and that's fair enough, but I like polite. I like gentlemanly discussion. And so it's a great place for that. You can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. We got a bunch of new patrons this week, and we're going to thank them a little bit. But again, we've got Slack, extra podcasts, t-shirts, prize giveaways at the end of the season, and a lot more.
Just as a demonstration of how polite the Slack is, Josh, we got a question on there this week where somebody genuinely wanted to know where we stood on, do you put the cream on the biscuit first or the jam? Do you put the jam first and then the biscuit? So if you want to, if you're not interested in that, you just actually are here listening to Always Cheating for the FPL managerial tactics. I've got a tip for you. Fantasy Football Scout. It's a site that we love. Josh, you and I are both members, and we love their stats tools. They've got Opta data out the wazoo. And you were recently on the Fantasy Football Scout podcast feed with Joe Jonty, the Dullard manager himself, with their special series Meet the Manager. And you were doling out your managerial techniques. That was a pretty cool podcast experience, was it not?
It was great to meet Joe. You're kidding about the Dullard thing, of course. Yeah, really, really good conversation. Really nice to meet him and talk with him. And hopefully it was useful for anybody who listened to it. You can find it on YouTube or just on the Fantasy Football Scout feed. So that was just a fun little thing to do. So check it out. Let's take a break. We'll get back and we'll talk more about what went well for people, not us. What went well for other folks. All right, Brandon, we're back. And the topic for today is what's going well and who's doing well. So we have I reached out to, I put out the call for some managers who have a strong season to reach out to us and tell them what they've done well. Because I'm genuinely curious, like, what is going well for you? Like, if you're
we have
a good
no
season,
idea here at Always Cheating.
No clue. Yeah, so we've got a few posts that I'll share. And I think just when you hear them all together, there's a few themes that I think start to emerge. So hopefully it'll be useful. Just before we do that, though, I did want to just take a quick look because I think it is kind of instructive, right? So we're 5 weeks into the season. We do have one more match tomorrow, but it's, you know, it's Aston Villa, West Ham. I don't think it's going to change things too much here. So just the total points leaders, Brandon, for game weeks 1 through 5, right? Yeah. So I pulled the top 20 points leaders, and what immediately stands out to me, and it kind of flies in the face of all of the big at the back, you know, 4-4-2, 5-5 at the back. You've been seeing, you know, this like sort of
these Sir Mix-a-Lot teams, if you will.
Yeah, the sort of all these different teams that are very big at the back. There is one defender in the top 20 for total points the first 5 game weeks of the season, which I think is like enough points to, like, we're far enough in the season that, like, you're getting out of the like small sample size territory, at least a little bit, right? I mean, yes. Like you're 5 weeks in, like you're starting to like be able to make some conclusions, I think. And that defender is 18th overall in terms of total points. And that is Yannick Vestergaard, who is on 27 points on the season. There is no other defender in the top 20 for total points so far this year. Trent Alexander-Arnold comes in at 21st, just below David.
Wow.
Yeah, just below David Silva. When you look at the top scoring players in the season, it's a murderer's row of expensive attackers. You have the kind of emerging young player. You know, you have the promoted players, I guess. Right. Like Pukki, who's now 7 million. You have Tammy Abraham, who of course was on Chelsea, but then, you know, he played in the championship last season, who's fourth overall. Pukki's first. But then it's the 12.1 million Aguero, the 12.5 million Salah, the 11.6 million Mane, the 11 million Aubameyang, and the 12.3 million Sterling.
Wow.
Right? It's, yeah. And then you've got De Bruyne at 9.8 and Firmino at 9.5. The way to have a good season this year was to have a 2013, 2014 style fantasy season, right? Where you just have like 30 million up front.
Yeah.
So I will tell you, about this.
I tried to put a team together. So I took this, not this exact data that you put in front of us tonight, Josh, but Okay. So if I put in my team, De Bruyne, Sterling, Mane, and Salah, and say a premium striker like Aubameyang, you can't make it work. You cannot even populate the rest of your team with 4.5 million. Like the prices on these high flying assets right now are so high that you can't even take that, what you're calling the 2014-15 strategy, in that the FPL game is too smart for us, right? Already knows what we need to do before we do it. So it is really frustrating. Yeah. And as someone who's just come off their wild card, the thing I kept thinking when I was playing my wild card coming into game week five was, I can see the perfect team. I know exactly what it looks like. Problem is, I'm like I'm many millions short of having it.
Well, it feels a little bit like whack-a-mole, you know, like it's like, you're like, okay, boom, I'm going to get Aguero. Like, you know, it's like I hit the hammer down. Like I've got him covered, you know, and then boom, like up pops Aubameyang. Oh crap. You know, like I need to have him covered too. It's like, boom, like you bring him in. Oh no. Like suddenly like Salah is the one that you, and it's like, you can't like the trick, I guess, would have been to be insanely aggressive with your transfers and constantly, you know, like kind of get lucky and like maybe captain the right expensive attacker so far this season.
I think the whack-a-mole metaphor is really actually informative and interesting in that there are players like, for me, Tammy Abraham would be that mole that he keeps popping up in the same hole. And I'm like, I see you. And I know you're going to pop up in a different hole, and I've got you when you do that. But he keeps popping up the same hole. So, this is – so it looks to me like this season is going to be especially challenging and, like, challenging my biases and my notions of the way I want to play and the players that I want to get in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is it challenging your long-term biases or just your recent biases?
I think that's a good point. Because do I have enough built up in my soft tissue with Tammy Abraham to have a long-term bias with him?
Well,
no,
I guess
obviously
it's like I had this idea that I've sort of built up that like I wanted to have like a couple of Liverpool defenders and I wanted to have, you know, it was only last spring, right? Where like the only two teams that were keeping clean sheets were Liverpool and Man City. I mean, it wasn't like we all decided to go big at the back and no one has ever done well with a strong defense. Is there, you know, it's like, it's just this season, it's not working. Like maybe Allison's injury was a huge factor. Maybe, Man City being on their, whatever they are, third and fourth choice center backs now, or second and third. It's like, you know, all of these like problems sort of have piled up. And so you're sort of in a position where no one can be trusted to keep a clean sheet, you know? And so it's just, there's no point in having a ridiculous amount of money in there because, I mean, and there's also like there's not a wealth outside of Lucas Dean, who I'm not even, I don't know. Even him, I'm reconsidering a little bit, you know?
Well, let me put it this way. Yeah. So in my wild card, I felt like I was cheaping out. I was like, big at the back, forget that. I'm moving on. Right. I have Virgil van Dijk and Lucas Digne. Between the two of them, that's $12.5 million of my budget. That's like, that's quite a bit of money when you step back and take a top-down view. So yep. It's like our thinking of big at the back is warped to the point where I am big at the back without even thinking about it.
Here's the thing about Lucas Digne. My concern is that no matter how good he is as a crosser and how many attacking points he's going to deliver, I'm not certain that – I don't know. Like, is anyone going to be able to score on the balls that he puts out there? You know, it's like – The attack on this team is just, I don't know, like maybe the Bournemouth game is just like a little too fresh in my brain right now.
Yeah.
Obviously they did score a couple, you know, right before that in the Wolves game, but I mean, they have not been prolific so far this season. That's for sure.
Well, he has two assists in five matches so far. So yeah, I think that might be, it's a decent return. You're looking at six, all right, starting from game week one, it's 6-11-1-5-0. So you've got two really dismal returns, 1 and 0. Take those out and you have just an electric defensive asset. And
I think you can't take out the 1 and the 0 though, you know? I mean,
but on balance, so let's see, you're better at math than me, Josh. So if I do 6 plus 17, 18, 23 divided by 5, you're averaging between 4 and 5.
4.5 or something like that. Yeah, roughly. I
think that is what I want from a 6.2 million defender. I do still think that Lucas Digne is delivering where he is. But I see what you mean where it's the way that you're thinking about the player, because I'm bringing in Lucas Digne not for his clean sheet potential, but for his attacking potential.
Right.
So the way you're trying to frame it is, I'm bringing this player into my team for a specific task.
Yeah.
You can choose to do is step back and say, it doesn't matter how he's getting these points, be it clean sheets or attacking returns, he's still averaging more than four points per game week. And I think that's still good. So based on just points alone, don't mess with him.
Yeah, I mean, and I do think that you're probably I think like the real problem is, you know, can you build a team of 4.5 million defenders that you have any faith in, you know, that you feel like could consistently do well? I mean, maybe you have one Burnley defender, maybe you bring in a Southampton, maybe you bring in Vestergaard, right? You bring in one, maybe you bring in Sonyoku. And then that money allows you to go from Ceballos to Mason Mount or whatever. And like, I don't know. Like, I'm curious how much you lose. I don't know. Digne is not like on the immediate chopping block here. I'm just saying that like, I'm rethinking everything right now. You know, I'm sort of like, I don't want to feel locked into anyone in my team, you know, because it's not working. And when it's not working, yes, like there's something to be said for patience, you know, to a certain degree. It's selective patience, you know, like, I'm going to be patient with De Bruyne and Sterling and, you know, Pukki and Allaire if they don't do anything for a while. I'm going to be patient with Mo Salah, but you know, for players under 7 million, I'm not going to be patient, you know, I'm going to keep moving them around.
Yeah. I don't want to be super defeatist here, but you talk about Vestergaard. Vestergaard is not going to turn the tide. He still costs 5.1. Okay, so Lucas Digne to Vestergaard, you're saving 1 million. What are you going to do? You're going to turn Mason Mount into James Maddison? Certainly wouldn't have helped you in game week 5. So what I'm really struggling with right now, I imagine a lot of other managers out there are struggling right now, is we're talking about such fine margins between players that we're bringing in. The long-term question of who's the best budget attacking mid to bring in? How do I set up my forward lineup? You're talking about really fine margins with 6.5 million players versus 7.5 million players. And week to week, one of those players is going to get you 10 points and one of those players is going to get you 2 points. And I think what we're going to be doing all season long, or at least the next couple of months, is 1 week it's going to be high and the next week it's going to be low. So maybe it's less like, we're trying to solve a problem week to week, and maybe it's more we're just trying to ride a wave week to week a bit.
Well, what I will say is, just as I think about my team, I do feel like I am, I feel like there are like goals everywhere right now. Goals galore, Brandon. And I don't feel like I have a team that's set up to capitalize on those goals, you know, right now. And so that's sort of just where I am. I need to be scoring more. My team needs to be scoring more goals. You know, I'm like a offensive coordinator in football or something. I'm just like, we need to score points. We need to put points on the board.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like, I like the Sabalos thing is, I mean, unmitigated disaster. You know, I could have had Mason Mount on my wild card 3 weeks ago. You know, that was 6.5 million or some nonsense, you know, and I'm stuck with silly old Sabalos who's, you know, worthless. I mean, you know, he's on my team. I mean, what do I even do with him? And they play home to Aston Villa next week. But like, can I keep him? Like, can I honestly keep him? I don't think I can, you know? So it's just a mess. I don't know. He's playing behind everybody. And if Mesut Ozil, I mean, you know, you saw it 4 minutes in, they get a free kick and, Sabalos is there. I know it's like the bio, Brandon. And it's hard for me to say that. So my bad pronunciation.
Go on.
But anyway, they're kind of both lined up. And of course, Ozil's the one who takes it. He doesn't do anything with it, of course. But I was like, right, this is not how it's going to be. He's not going to take anything anymore, you know? And so it was, that's not going to work. And so I need someone who can score, you know, and maybe I have to burn four this week. I don't know. Like a lot of things are going to be on the table. Buddy. Yeah.
You're looking at, so you looking at things that are going right. You pulled the top 20 performing FPL assets.
Right.
I'm thinking of one guy who jumps out at me as a guy one man. We're talking about one man in a world. Which man am I thinking of?
Wait, what?
Sorry. Guess the man I'm thinking of.
I got caught up in your pronunciation. I forgot the intro that what came before that. What am I guessing?
Guess which man I'm thinking of who just out of these top 20, just... We need to reckon with this guy who is in the top 20 FPL assets.
Okay, you already talked about Tammy Abraham, so we will. You know, is it Callum Wilson?
No,
is it Eric Lamella?
No. It's much more obvious than that. It's painfully obvious, and it's Roberto Firmino. And
yes.
On the wild card, the whole international
coverage pick, as you called him in our direct message chat.
Yeah, you and I were DMing, and we were talking about the phenomenon that is Firmino, and it was pretty clear at the start of the season. Firmino looked on it. He looked in form, and it was good. And 9.5 represented a certain degree of value on that Liverpool squad. But the way we formed our thinking in this current godforsaken FPL season was you either have Mane or Salah and you've got some defensive Liverpool coverage. And Firmino at 9.5, it just felt like a coverage pick. It felt like, listen, all right, I'm going to go 9.5 up front and I'm going to go all Manchester City in my midfield. And that was kind of how I was feeling about it. But the knee-jerk thing right now, it feels knee-jerk, but it also feels somewhat long-term informed. Firmino, still, as of game week 5, having a phenomenal season. Is it, as we're talking about, right, the defense and spending a lot of money on the defense is, you know, as much as we're talking around it week in, week out, it's not reaping any points for us. Firmino looks so good at 9.5. He's yet to rise in price. And I think the time is now for Roberto Firmino, right? Can we agree? If you're looking at these top 20 individuals in the FPL stats table, Firmino is the one that sticks out as the person who's underserved. He's selected by 12.5% of teams. He's first in if I start tinkering around.
The ownership is crazy low. I agree. I mean, I think, Yeah, I think he does. I think he does stand out. God, Vardy's only 8.9. He's, you know, it's gonna be hard for you to move off Vardy though too, because I mean he's got some really nice fixtures coming.
I think a Sergio Aguero, weird as it is the movable object in my front line, probably because I also have Sterling and De Bruyne in my midfield. So
have you been able to watch the highlights from that match yet? Are you still on a are you still like on a personal ban from watching that match?
I was off the grid Saturday and it was a total blackout. I think the only thing I needed to ingest from Saturday was our good friend Tom Campbell's match of the day highlights that he posed to his Twitter. And maybe I'll just leave it at that, because it just seems too painful. I don't know. So what was your takeaway from the City's attack against Norwich, given that I'm troubled up on them right now?
They could have scored 9 goals, you know? I mean, and then they just didn't. They got a little unlucky. And I mean, we talked about this earlier today when I saw you, but, you know, it's Pep had this press conference yesterday where he was very sharp and smart, I thought, where he just said, you know, listen, it's you know, they're human beings. These are not video games, you know, like sometimes you miss and sometimes, you know, it's like the outcome is not predetermined and, you know, the other team wants to win as well. And, you know, it's like sometimes you're just not going to win, you know, and it was just, it was very reasonable and he didn't lay into his players at all, you know, nor should he, obviously. I mean, they won the league 2 years in a row, but it was just a funky game, you know. I mean, Norwich did not fluke the win, you know, but you know, and certainly, but you know, I think a draw might have been a fair result as well, you know. I mean, I think that, you know, Sterling hits the post at one point, Aguero missed some big chances, you know. I mean, for him to only come away with 6 points from that match is one of the shockers of the season, I think, you know. There's a reason, you know, a lot of managers triple captain him, and I can understand why, because that's a match where he could have had a hat trick, you know. So it was just fair props to Farke, you know, the Norwich manager. I mean, that guy's a genius, right? He's like the next Klopp. Like, how is he doing this? Like, they're probably going to stay up this year. Like, a Norwich team with no defenders is going to stay up this season, which is like, I mean it's early still, but like it looks like they're just gonna outscore everybody, and like that is just so awesome. Like, fantasy aside, it's just so cool.
We'll see. I think it's a really tricky thing to sustain, but rooting for him. Definitely rooting for him. And it's one of those promoted clubs that comes around, you know, every 5 years or so, where it feels just very straightforward and easy to root for this Norwich side.
Yeah, exactly. It's a kind of a Blackpool style, you know. Right. So we'll see. All right, I'm going to read up a few tweets here, Brandon, from managers who have done well. And, you know, we typically have a no brag allowed rule on this podcast, but I asked for some brags, or I asked for some advice, you know, like what's gone well for you so far. So I'm just going to read a few of these off, and you know, we can stop and talk about any of them, or we can just kind of blast right through them. All right. Okay. So if you have thoughts, let me know.
Okay? Sure.
All right. First one comes from Evan. He says, patience with Callum Wilson and Rabo finally paid off. Yeah. Callum Wilson, the Wilson problem. there's a question from Ian, FPL Strategic. He said, can you talk about Callum Wilson? He's doing so well, but also more expensive than the promising options. Is he less risky? Are the others more risky? I mean, Callum Wilson is the truth. And I did not want to look the truth in the eye, Brandon.
You didn't want to see the face of God.
I mean, first of all, he's had, you know, 5-5-5-5 the first 4 game weeks. It's an excellent average score, right? I mean, we talked about for anybody. I mean, outside of like, you know, 10 million plus player, 5 million, you're never going to captain Callum Wilson, right? So if you just average 5 points from him, that's fantastic. And then he finally has his breakout game, right? He has a brace today. And now he looks like fantastic. I mean, where is he on this list? He's like 3-6. He's the 10th highest scoring player in the league so far this season. And you know, we all just sort of, I mean, he's 7.8 million, right? He's 0.2 down from his starting price. You know, cause we all want this shiny new object. You know?
Yeah. I mean, attacking returns the first 3 or 4 game weeks. Right. And still his price plummeted by 0.2. And you look at Bournemouth's fixtures upcoming, they're still pretty good.
Yeah.
Southampton, West Ham in game weeks 6 and 7, then Arsenal, Norwich, Watford. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I never have a problem admitting that I'm, well, sometimes I do, but in this case, I don't mind admitting that I'm wrong, Brandon. And I was wrong to ditch Bournemouth so early. I mean, I should have stuck with Wilson longer, you know, because clearly he's he's been good. So, a little bit of patience probably came through. I mean, patience with Rabo is a little trickier because, I mean, it was, 2-2-2-2. And then even today, he only gets 5 points. So it's not a lot from a 7 million. And honestly, I don't even think he looks – actually, he looked a little better in game week 5.
Agreed.
Like pale shadow compared to Trent Alexander-Arnold, you know, who like could have had two goals and two assists, you know, yesterday. All right, so next post. FPL Chef says, I'm currently set at 886th overall. Betting against the Twitter template and big at the back is what started me off decently. A wild card of 101 points catapulted me to the top 1K. And Aguero over Sterling for the last two has been the difference, and I'm rocking the good old 3-4-3. A lot to think about there. I think Aguero over Sterling is huge, right? That alone is a massive difference. I mean, so Aguero only had six, but you know, this last game week, which is still 4 points more than Sterling picked up. And how many did he have last game week? Was it, he had 16 points last game week, right? And so Sterling just had two in that game week as well, right? I guess he had three because they kept a clean sheet. So overall that's 17 extra points. I mean, that if I had 17 more points right now, I would not be down 800,000 spots, you know? I'm not sure what 17 points translates into in terms of like a rank jump, but I suspect it's like about 500,000 spots right now. So it makes a big difference.
Manchester City is one of those teams where you're like, the answer is right under your nose and you don't even see it. And I'd like all props to FPL Chef for the canny managerial turn here, because Aguero is 0.5 cheaper. You're saving money on Raheem Sterling. And my thinking, and a lot of people's thinking heading into the season, was Sterling is the new effective captain of Manchester City. He's a must-have. You never know when he's going to go off. Suddenly, all this conversation about Sterling causes you to lose sight of their all-time leading goal scorer and the fact that Gabriel Jesus still hasn't managed to knock Aguero out of the pecking order. So it's that sort of like dialed in. I'm not going to lose sight of what makes the top team the top team and what makes the top team a great FPL team. So Aguero is an interesting one, and that will be a really tough one for me coming off this disappointing wild card of trying to stay the course with Aguero and not being tempted. Certainly if Aubameyang's price, I would expect Aubameyang's price is probably going to go up this week, to try and not just jump on, lose Aguero and jump on Aubameyang, because that temptation will be there. Because I don't see any reason why Aguero would fall off the boil. And lest we forget, he scored this week. He continues to rack up the FPL points.
Yeah, even in a bad match, he's like, I think we talked about him before, like I actually think we talked about De Bruyne this way, but I think it's true of Aguero as well. Like Aguero's floor is so high, right? Like a bad game week for him is like 6 points. It's very rarely, assuming he starts, it's very rarely.
And that's why we were favoring him as captain in this Norwich match. Yeah. If we had him, and I know you didn't have him, so you weren't able to do so over Sterling because of that exact reason. Aguero's ceiling is just always going to be, or his floor is always going to be that much higher.
All right. Do you want to read this next question? I think it's a good one from Heath Cram, or next post.
Yeah. Next post comes from Heath Cram, who says overall rank around 8,000. Formation is 3-4-3. So much like Chef that we just talked about. What's working for Heath Cram is triple City and double Liverpool and dumping Kane for Aguero. Another Aguero shout here. In 12 years playing, I can't remember a preseason like it, with so many decent judges and proven managers getting excited to spend close to 30 million and playing four at the back. Unprecedented defensive investment. So he definitely saw what the chat was, but he was choosing still to play his own game, to play what has worked for him season upon season, the 3-4-3, and look to proven goal scorers and big up front with Aguero. Yep. So, it's a great shout.
That was the politest way to tweet or to post wake up sheeple. It was like All right. The next one comes from Chris, who's FPL Chris is a good friend of ours, Patreon supporter. He says, currently 40,000 before today's fixtures. I wildcarded into game week 2 after realizing there are problems with the game week 1 template. The big moves are bringing Pookie in ahead of his hat trick. I think a key thing for a lot of managers over a really good season, and getting on Kun Aguero early, using a 3-4-3 with a light defense. So this is now three managers in a row who are using a 3-4-3 formation this season. So yeah. I think that's kind of instructive.
We officially have a trend. Josh. All right. Next post comes from FPL Carbon Rod, who says, I'm currently around 20,000 live rank despite a game week 3 wildcard mess. Also, 16 points are from an uncharacteristically early triple captain on Aguero in game week 4. Well done, Carbon Rod. Very cheeky. Getting on Pookie, Mount, Cantwell early and sticking with premiums, not swapping around, and probably my best call so far. Also a flexible formation, but mostly 4-4-2. So here's a shout for 4-4-2.
Flying the ointment there.
Embedded within FPL Carbon Rod's comment here, I think, is the hashtag patience, right? Where he got on players early and he stuck with premiums and he didn't swap them around.
Right.
So
that's, I think that's actually, that's what I was talking about earlier, right? It's patience with your expensive players, you know, but being really knee jerky with your cheap players. And it kind of makes sense, right? Like the cheap players are cheap for a reason, right? Like there's a reason why no one can resolve the who's the best 5.5 to 6.5 million midfielder question. You know, it's because the answer is none of them are that good.
Yeah.
You know, right. That's why that's why they cost that much, you know? So it's, you know, it's like, so of course you should be ruthless with those players, you know? And defenders are maybe a little more locked in, but you know, the thing about defenders is their prices aren't that volatile, you know? I mean, you know, unless they're Matt Doherty situation where someone starts off underpriced, you know, and jumps up a million, or that's not really happening right now, you know? So,
I think that's why one of the most popular questions that you see bouncing around is who's the best budget mid? Which budget mid should I get in? Because there is this impulse to get the player in for the long haul. I want the best player at the right price and I want to not have to think about it later. But this is how the game is played. There are certain positions in your FPL lineup that you're going to bring them in and you're going to have to constantly be monitoring them. Mount looks like maybe he could solve that problem for you long term. But yeah, the fact is, whether it's your defense or your second or third striker, you have to be willing to be an active, overbearing boss, right, Josh? No one likes a boss. It's always up in your business. Like, where are you with that project? Totally. You turn that project in yet?
Yes.
Are we on time? Are we on schedule?
Yeah.
That's how you have to be with your budget players, Josh.
I agree. Definitely. I should be doing more of that and not doing
check up on your employees, Josh.
Moneta Salah swaps. All right. So final post here is from FPL Addict. It says, I'm currently 25,000. Billy Sharp, 8-pointer in game week 1 in 8 minutes. Ugh, beautiful. Lundstrom, 14 points in game week 2. Lucky appearance of the bench played a huge part in my rank. Apart from that, I bought Aguero. Again, Aguero is a real constant here. On a wild card in game week 4, and he is plus 17 from Sterling Campaigners in the last 2 weeks. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I think that so, you know, like maybe we don't have serious massive trends across the board here. I mean, you know, obviously like the captaincy stuff, there's a little bit of luck involved in that. You know, I mean, for Sterling to blank in the last two is very surprising. I mean, you know, just it's not going to happen that often. He's going to blank 2 game weeks in a row. I don't read too much into that. You know, I mean, he certainly could have done something in both those matches. So. I think having Aguero, like you said earlier, it's Sergio Aguero. He's amazing. I would like to think that if I knew that Jesus was injured going into game week 3, I would have had him in my wild card. Yeah. I still think it's very annoying that was sort of a private, it was treated like a private matter, Brandon, like an illness in the family or something.
No, everything concerns us, the FPL community, all concerns us.
I don't know. I mean, if a massive player on your team gets injured, like I'm surprised that isn't news, you know, but there's,
yeah,
I don't know.
Right, right, right. So yeah, all eyes on the Champions League fixtures that kick off midweek this week. So especially if you're dealing with Liverpool and Manchester City conundrums, even Chelsea and Spurs. I mean, no one's really dealing with Spurs conundrums at the moment, but very curious to see what kind of minutes Aguero and Jesus get midweek.
Yeah, definitely worth saving your transfer until Friday, if at all possible. All right, Brian, it's a quick break. We have a short lightning round, and we'll look at game week 6. Brandon Kelly, that's your name. There are countless ways to keep up and what's happening in the world of sports, but how are you supposed to read every great article? How are you supposed to watch every awesome highlight? Without losing time in your busy, busy day. I know you're busy, Brandon.
I'm a very busy guy.
Direct messaging you constantly, and it takes you upwards of 3 or 4 minutes before you respond. It's
I'm an important businessman, Josh.
Yeah. Scrolling through every app, visiting every website on a daily basis is impossible. Now coming to the stage is Axios Sports. That's A-X-I-O-S Sports, Brandon. Axios Sports is a modern sports page delivered directly to your email inbox. Every morning, you'll see the best stories from around the sports world, from the NBA, NFL, Premier League, to niche sports like cricket and ping pong. Now, in some places, Brandon, like the UK, not so niche. Cricket, that is. Ping pong probably still is.
Ping pong has taken the world by storm. I know that much.
The email newsletter highlights the most important stats and trends, giving you the ability to stay informed. It's super simple to sign up. Sports.axios.com. Axios Sports is clean and crisp and gives you everything you need to know. You can read it in 5 minutes in the elevator or discover a deep dive article where you're on the train to work. Not only will you be caught up, you'll be the cool person to share an amazing link with your friends and coworkers.
Cool.
That is true, Brandon. I actually like, you know, I don't follow the NFL as closely as I used to, but I actually like following it just so that I can have things to talk about.
Sure. So you can have friends.
Yes, I can have some friends. Exactly. Join the 100,000 sports fans who get caught up in the day before it even begins. And best of all, there's no paywall, no subscription, no fee, nothing. This is free curated sports content delivered directly to you. Do yourself, Brandon, and your time a favor. Sign up for the Axios Sports Center for free at sports.axios.com. Again, that's A-X-I-O-S.com. Again, try for free at sports.axios.com.
Joshua, you and I, we are joining the 10 million who have already tried Harry's Razors. Claim your special offer by going to harrys.com/bluewire. Why should you try Harry's? Well, Harry's founders were two just regular guys, just like you and me, Josh. And they were tired of getting ripped off and paying for overpriced razors, just like you and I. Harry's makes quality, durable blades at a fair price, just $2 per blade. If you don't love your shave, let them know and they'll give you a full refund. Hey, Josh, this fall, refresh your wallet and your face with a Harry's trial set. Here's what it comes with. A weighted ergonomic handle for an easy grip. Also, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade for a close shave. Also, a rich lathering shave gel that will leave you smelling great. Josh, you smell terrible. I'm going to get you one of these free sets. And a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy on the go. Listeners of Always Cheating, you can redeem your free trial set at harrys.com/bluewire. Make sure you go to harrys.com/bluewire to redeem your offer and let them know that Always Cheating sent you to help support our show.
Brandon, we're back. Short lighting round this time. Got four questions here. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm gonna mix up the order here a little bit too. I'm just to tinker around a little bit. Ben John says, "Is Tammy essential?"
Oh God, I love the hashtag essential questions on this podcast.
Always a tricky one.
I'll tell you this much, Ben. No one is essential apart from yourself, and that's just saying love yourself, Ben. And you and your life, you are essential to your loved ones and to your employers and to us here at the Always Cheating Podcast. We appreciate you listening. Wow. Is Tammy Abraham essential? I don't bloody know. He's playing really well. I'll tell you that much.
I know. I mean, it's seven goals in 3 matches cannot be waved away. That's for
Here's
sure.
the weird
it's,
thing.
It's remarkable.
So in my research for my wild card, I was looking at Tammy versus Sebastian Haller at West Ham, right? If you compare Haller's stats and Tammy Abraham's stats in game weeks 3 and 4, just head to head, how do they perform? Haller doubles Tammy Abraham's stats on virtually everything. Now, granted, Haller scored 3 goals versus Tammy's 4, even though Haller doubled his stats. But the conventional wisdom would be Haller is driving toward a better season-long output than Tammy Abraham just based on these short-term
stats.
Well,
when he scores 4 tomorrow, Brandon, it'll be even, so it'll be fine.
Everything will be square. So this is the really vexing thing with a player like Tammy Abraham is that he personally confuses me with the eye test. His stats are, I would call them somewhat strange and anomalous. But if you're just looking at the first 5 game weeks, Tammy looks like a bloody great FPL asset. Yeah. So what can I say?
Yeah. I mean, it's like if you define essential as, I mean, it's like all these different ways to define it. I mean, it's like, you know, but like, let's just say, I'll say this much, Brandon. If I had a wild card, he would 100 million percent be on my wild card team into game week six. So does that mean he's essential? I guess so. From a certain perspective, it doesn't mean I'm going to rearrange my team to bring him in next game week. Would I like to have him in the future? I would. Yes, I would.
If you're looking at your team, last we'll say about Tammy, right, Josh, is if you're looking at your team and your one free transfer heading into game week six, does Tammy register in the top five transfer targets for you?
No, especially because they're playing Liverpool in game week six. Also, there's maybe like a possible injury worry as well with him, right? Like he's been flagged. So, you know, more maybe known by tomorrow. Maybe he's fine. But, you know, so he's not on the radar really. But I'd love to have him.
Yeah, exactly. I think that we have a week to think about this, given just at least given that Liverpool fixture.
Yeah. One more week to possibly save two transfers if I possibly could, you know, to make it easier to bring them in. All right. So next question comes from Vinyl Richie. He says, who is the best 4 to 5 million defender besides Lundstrom? Could Tomori, who's only 4.5 million, scored an amazing goal yesterday, actually be an option for consecutive starts in a great fixture run after Liverpool? So Tomori, I mean, has not really been on my radar so far, but that price is right, Brandon.
Yeah, so we were in the car, my wife and I, on Saturday, and I was driving, and I was asking her or forcing her to do periodic score checks. I was like,
wow, that's amazing.
Like, honey, open up the phone, give me a score check, read out loud. She's like, Chelsea 10, Wolves 4, whatever the ludicrous score line was in that game. I was like, cool, all right, let me know who scored. And she's like, Tomori. And I'm like, you clearly are pronouncing that wrong. What? Who is that? What? Tomori is the definition of flying under Brandon's radar. So there you go.
I mean, he's an interesting one, right? I mean, he's Canadian, for one thing, which is kind of fun.
fun is one word to describe it,
Well, he's born in Calgary. He's represented England at the under 21 level, which is it's kind of
was he playing with cheese curds in his pocket? Is that that's what I want to know?
Is this another junior Hoylett situation? I worry. so we've got Tomori 4.5. I mean, like they need help. So if he can do it, then you know maybe he's. I mean, you know, it's like Christensen hasn't even played the last two matches. Was he might have been injured for one of them. But I mean, he's not even flagged right now. So maybe Tomori is like solid there for a little while. I mean, the thing about Chelsea is they do have this remarkable run coming up, you know, they play Liverpool, but then it's really nice after that. It's, you know, Brighton, Southampton, Newcastle, Burnley, and Watford and Palace. Yeah. I mean, really the next six starting game week seven are excellent. And I have no coverage right now, from Chelsea. And it's a little bit of a worry. I'm not, you know, there aren't that many players I want, though. You know, I mean, I kind of want Mason Mount, Tammy Abraham, but maybe Tomori is like how I start building up my. Also, he's 4.5, so I could go like from Zinchenko to Tomori, and that would solve some problems for me.
Do you think that this is Abramovich's greatest project yet? So he's done everything, right? He's won the league, he's won the Premier League multiple times. He's won the Europa League. He's won the Champions League. This season, Abramovich is setting out to build the perfect FPL team. He's like, I need budget-priced players of every stripe, you know, 4.5 defenders, 7 million, like, premium strikers, a 6.5 wonderkind in the midfield. It could be Abramovich's greatest work. It might be.
Wow. That's amazing. It's thought-provoking, and I think there's no way you're wrong. So, yeah, it's very, wonderful. Very interesting.
All right. Yeah. That leads us into the next question of our lightning round, which is from Jovan D. What do you think of having the more affordable attacking assets for Manchester City or Liverpool to cover those teams instead of the premiums, i.e. have KDB plus Firmino? Okay, so cheaper than having Salah plus Aguero, and invest in Kane, Aubameyang, or more to balance the midfield. So I think what Jovan is pushing for here is what we might qualify as coverage picks that would allow you to spread your dollar farther, not just in the budget areas, like upgrade a 6.5 right. player, but actually get more quote unquote premium players.
Yeah. And I mean, coverage sounds like a dirty word sometimes, but I mean, sometimes it's just changing your perspective a little bit too. You know, I mean, Firmino is a perfect example of this, you know, like it's Firmino is, looks, I don't know. I mean, that's complicated. We talked about this before. I mean, the problem is, can you get what you're getting, what you get from Firmino out of a comparable player who's cheaper in the forward position? Or is it, it's not as easy to get what you get from like a Sadio Mane from a comparable player, you know, in the midfield.
So definition of coverage.
It is a little trickier. Yeah, exactly. So, but there are, I mean, it may be that that Firmino and KDB are just maybe the two, I don't know. It's, I mean, you went out without any Liverpool mids in your wildcard team. I mean, are you regretting it already? Or, I mean, obviously, you know, one game week's not a huge sample,
yes. I am very nervous given what I saw in game week 5. I just decided to have two Liverpool players in my defense with Adrian, LOL, and goal, and then Van Dijk. I went very budget with Liverpool. And it's just looking at Liverpool's upcoming fixtures and thought, I don't know. It's
Champions League
and all that sort of thing. And it's the, we talked about this morning, Josh, about the idea of last season, week on week, Manchester City might've had an off week, but they would come back and score 4 goals the next week. And on average, they were putting 3, 4, 5 goals past every opponent. Liverpool would occasionally take the more conservative approach, and you were counting on Liverpool more or less getting 1, 2, or 3 goals past every opponent. So it's a lower output. So I was, the wild card thinking was, you know what, I just want to go more aggressive with Manchester City and try and go all in on that bigger goal output with Manchester City. Now, that really throws away the law of averages and the, like, 1 week Liverpool will, your Liverpool assets are going to outperform your Manchester City assets. And I'm just all in one side. And that's like, I'm just not diversified right now. I have a high risk portfolio, very high risk retirement fund right now. And yeah, I'm feeling very nervous. I am.
Here's what I will just, I will say that, you know, sometimes I think that, you know, it's unfortunate when you take a few big risks, you know, like a few home run swings and it doesn't come off. And, you know, but I mean, I applaud how bold you were on the wild card, you know? I mean, it's too bad that it hasn't worked out so far, you know, but I mean, like, it's, you know, I applaud the thinking. I mean, it's like, you, like we talk about like thinking outside the box and maybe that'll work. I mean, like you did it, you know? And so, I mean, who knows, like maybe in, like you said, you know, in game week 9, that's really going to be your key game week. You know, maybe game week 16. You know, I don't know. Like, well,
1 week.
Okay, now I'm joking, but I wasn't joking before. I mean, I think you were trying to think outside the box, and it's always kind of a bummer when that doesn't get rewarded. So,
yeah, anyway. I will say now, like, the easiest move for me is Firmino, given my outlay, and if I have KDB, Sterling, and Aguero up front, the easiest one transfer move for me is to bring in Firmino, you know, as what we had qualified as a coverage pick. So I'm very open to that. And I think that that might be what will happen to be a short-term fix. Now, the problem there is Aubameyang looks even more appealing than Firmino at the moment. So there are a lot of different options that...
Right.
And that was another piece of the wild card thinking is, even though it was a high-risk portfolio, not very diversified, at least the City assets, expensive as they are, leave you room to move off of them into other interesting players. So hopefully I will be able adjust as needed.
Yeah, and there will certainly be some injuries with some of these key players. I mean, there's really no one major has been injured so far, you know, and I think that's really outside of Gabriel Jesus, if he counts, you know, so... hasn't really opened up like massive movement, you know, towards certain people, which will happen eventually. So, all right. I think that's it, Brandon. Game week 6 kicks off on Friday. As a reminder, there's a Friday fixture this week, folks. It is a, not a great one. It's Southampton v Bournemouth. Is a I guess it's a South England derby.
Wow.
I guess I'll be I'll certainly be tracking this match, but
we're opiate addicts like the masses. Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I was just thinking about my team going into game week six, and I was like, well, you know, maybe I could drop AWB, who's been kind of on my bench. And even though he got the clean sheet today, I still kind of feel like I want to move off him. They play West Ham away, which I don't see as a great fixture for them, especially coming off the Europa League. But then I'm looking at these fixtures and I'm like, where would I even get a clean sheet out of these matches? You know, it's like maybe, I don't even know. Like maybe I mean, Bournemouth's going to score on Southampton, right? Like most likely. And, you know, and then I'm like,
yeah.
So it's like, it's hard to really know who, like, I don't know, like, you know, like the 4.5 million defenders, it's just a weird bracket right now, you know, and there's just no one who, like, you're just like super excited about, you know? So, Palace maybe, right, versus Wolves, possibly.
The Manchester City Watford match on Saturday is one that jumps out at me as there's a lot on the line here, particularly for managers like myself who have heavily invested in Manchester City attack. And I don't know what you took away from that Arsenal-Watford match from Sunday. Today, when we're recording, Watford looked still really awful.
Yeah, very open match. Yeah,
I don't know what you could. It was really open, and I think that speaks a lot to as much to Arsenal as it does to Watford. And Manchester City, they have to, at home at the Etihad, they just have to absolutely smoke Watford for me to pick up the pieces from this wild card. And I do feel like it's the perfect bounce back fixture for anyone who had a bum game week. And I think, again, you just have to throw the armband on your preferred City attacker for this match. It's got to be the big focus for FPL managers.
If Sterling plays 90 minutes at midweek, I think I'll really seriously consider KDB as my captain over Sterling. I don't know. KDB just got rested, makes him less likely to be rested again next weekend. I mean, I just can't imagine KDB getting rested for consecutive Premier League fixtures. It just seems very unlikely. So, I don't know. Like, I hate even playing this game, though. I mean, because even if Sterling, like, even came on off the bench, he could certainly do something, too. So, I don't know. I feel like I'm just – this is, like, the agony of fantasy, right? It's like there's just so many – I mean, honestly, Chelsea's defense does not look good either, right? So, Mo Salah is not, in my opinion, a terrible pick either for game week six.
Right. Yes, it's true. And City is traveling – let's see, for the Champions League, they're traveling to the Ukraine. Ukraine is not weak. Ukraine's strong.
Good Seinfeld reference. Yep.
They're away on Wednesday. And let's see, Liverpool. Thank you. And Liverpool, for comparison's sake, let's see, are they home or away? Liverpool are also away. They play on Tuesday away to Napoli. So an interesting matchup for them, too. So both Liverpool and City away. You're going to have to watch those players' minutes with great care.
Another, a lot of fun matchups this weekend, though. I think Leicester Spurs should be really fun, just as I don't plan to have anyone in that match. We haven't talked about Sun at all. Okay. I guess we'll have to say that for next week's podcast, but Sun looked great, reasonably affordable. He's under 10 million. But that Leicester Spurs game, I think, should be really interesting. Like, I guess I would favor Leicester to win it. I'm not sure what the, you know, who's favored in that match, who the favorite is to win that match.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny thing about Spurs. Like, I feel like they're having this god awful season and they're actually, like, I think they're tied with City right now in second place. So it's, I don't know. It's weird.
How about that Harry Kane though? Huh?
I know.
He got an assist.
One assist. Yeah. Piling them up. I think Burnley Norwich should be really interesting. I mean,
yes.
Norwich, they score in that match, right? Norwich score. Like, there's no way they don't score in that match.
Presumably. Yeah, I think so. I mean, Norwich is such an interesting team this season because they have all of the ways to score. And I'm not sure if it's the way teams play them that will help them, or that West Ham match just sticks out in your mind. Like, what did West Ham do? Did Norwich have an off day, or did West Ham do something different? And West Ham, particularly this iteration of West Ham, not known for their defensive prowess.
Right.
What will Burnley do, particularly Burnley at home? Burnley at home will look to score. They won't look to sit back. They won't look to sit.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's still Norwich, right? I mean, like, if you're Burnley and you're playing Norwich at home, you have to try to win that game, you know? Like, you're not, like, and, yeah, I don't know. So, like, I mean, so I think there will be counterattacking opportunities for Norwich. I'm also just not super convinced about Burnley's defense. I mean, I've had Pope, I guess, the entire season now, and I'm still just not, like, I don't know. I'm not super convinced. But also, like, I don't know. Like, you and I were looking at goalkeepers before the podcast started, and it was like no one stands out. It's like David De Gea and Angus Gunn are in first and second right now. So
Angus Gunn.
Yeah. So maybe you consider Angus on a wild card. I mean, he's only 4.5 million, so he's a reasonable pick.
Consider Angus.
Yeah.
That's gonna change my FPL team name to Consider Angus.
Oh, I'm changing my team name to Boar on the Floor FC. Did I tell you about that? So excited
you
about that.
Sicko.
All right. So yeah, Newcastle, Brighton. It closes out Saturday, then Sunday you've got all the European teams playing. So yeah, I think Chelsea Liverpool should be I expect a lot of goals. I mean, I think Liverpool win that match. But you know, I got like a 3-2 Liverpool win. That wouldn't surprise me, you know, something like that. Something in that range.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
That does 3-1. Sound about right. They are two very offensive teams.
Yeah.
Though, I don't know. I'm curious to see how Liverpool's defense evolves during the course of the season, because a guy as domineering as Virgil van Dijk cannot be happy with the way things are going defensively this season. And I don't see him idly standing by. I don't know. It's curious. I think that Liverpool will tighten up at some point defensively. This is probably not the match that it happens.
I mean, Newcastle only had one chance in that entire match, basically, you know, and they came early and they scored.
And they scored a brilliant shot. Yeah, that's true. So that's a good point.
Kind of happened with City last year, too, where I feel like City was like losing a bunch of clean sheets, but it felt so fluky, you know. It was basically like kind of the same thing where they, like, you know, it was like four chances in four matches, you know, and all four of them they scored on. So I actually don't feel the way about City right now. I feel like City's defense is a shambles. I mean, God, like, if you don't think that City's defense is a shambles, just go watch Pukki's goal, the third goal in yesterday's match. And that will tell you where they are right now defensively. Although I'm sure it'll get tighter, especially when, I don't know, it'll be tighter in March. So, you know, like, target them for like a game week 25 defensive, you know, double up or something. All right. So that's the pod, Brandon. I think it was kind of a little different one, you know. I don't know. I felt like we slightly philosophical, perhaps. But I thought it was interesting.
Way philosophical, man. I hope everyone could follow that. But it feels good. It feels good for sure. Coming off of two of us having weird, kind of bad game weeks, we have to take a step back and look at what is FPL doing that doesn't have direct contact with our individual teams. And I hope that's what Always Cheating brings to our listeners. Is it's not just about my team or your team. It's about the vibe, what's going on in the game week writ large. And I hope this is helpful.
Yeah.
So as we sign off, we do just want to thank our Patreon subscribers. And if you are interested in getting involved and thanking Josh and I for what we do week in, week out on the Always Cheating podcast, you could go to patreon.com/always cheating, where you can find out more about getting an extra podcast every week, access to our Slack channel, t-shirts, extra leagues, all that. Big thank yous to our new Volkswagen patron. It's Heath Cram. And at the Lord Sorloth tier, big thanks to Thomas Holmes, Ross Simpson, Henrik Sadness. You're not sad, are you, Henrik? Gil Gilson, Jason Martirano, Tu Lumbi, and David Arnold. And Josh, give a big thanks to our new Pookie patron,
Scott Schmidt. Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Scott. Once again,
well done, Scott.
Yeah, patreon.com/alwayscheating, where you can go. Brandon, a few quick producer thank yous as well. Peter Barakal, Barry McGuire, Paul Hertzig, Victor Forberg, Skogang, Alan Creasy, Blair Jacobson, Nick Wright, Stan Niehaus, Kaya Christine Lalang, Brian Chin, Travis West, Frederick Kian Gransky, Dave Wagner Lodahl, Brian Jacobson, Andy Penn, Jazz Binning, Christian Carter, Babas Kuhn, James Holland, Ben Grant, Jeff Husby, The Big Gaffer, Trevor Ingerson, Brian T., Nick Costella, Jim Payne, Adam Benjamin, Martin Savage, Chris Howell, Stephen Toomey, and Mike DiPietro. Thank you so much to all of our Patreon producers. If I'm mispronouncing your name, please let us know. And hopefully all of you also received an email from Brandon this week about the new Patreon t-shirt design, which we're going to get out to you shortly.
Yeah, absolutely. And rate, review the Always Cheating Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Acast, wherever it is that you get your podcast. Give us a follow on Twitter at Hail Cheaters, Instagram at Hail Cheaters. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/always cheating. Send us your emails, hailcheaters@gmail.com. If you're interested in checking out our Always Cheating online shop or getting the league code for our Always Cheating Super League, just head to our website, alwayscheating.com. All of our information is found there. It's alwayscheating.com. Joshua, thank you for preventing me thank you for saying step off from that ledge, my friend, jumper style.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome. And you know what? Let's hope that Allaire is healthy, Brandon. Let's do a quick prayer to Sebastian Allaire's health and ability to score 12 to 37 goals tomorrow.
Indeed. Sláinte, Allaire.